Now, the rest of the story. Frank lay alone on a mattress on the floor, in the dark, in a bleak and lonely house where the damp and the chill and the midnight and the nightmares huddled close to him like frightened orphans. The solitary flame from the solitary candle that had lighted his path up the creaking stairs was now extinguished. In that raw and empty room in the foreboding blackness, the sleepless man lay waiting to be haunted by guilt and by grief and by the not-so-quite warming glow of happiness long past. There was a wrenching vision of two children who never grew up, who died in infancy, Frank's children. Thereafter, Frank and his wife, Jeannie, doted on their only surviving child, a little boy named Benny. But then came that cold, wicked January morning only weeks ago when Frank and his family boarded a train. They were scarcely a mile on their journey when there came a sudden jolt. The passenger car toppled from the track down an embankment into a field. Frank and Jeannie were bumped and bruised. Their 11-year-old son, Benny, was crushed to death. 12 of the boy's classmates served as pallbearers at his funeral. Jeannie, already deep in shock, fell deeper still. Frank had accepted a position that required relocation, a new town, a new home, but Jeannie, who had never approved of Frank's career ambitions to begin with, was now less than ever enthusiastic. Go on ahead, she had told him. What conceivable help could she be to him anyway? So Frank went on ahead, alone. He got a few boxes and some furniture moved into the new house. When the movers had gone, Frank lighted a candle and climbed the stairs. His footsteps echoing throughout the lonely, darkened rooms. A bare mattress was left on the bedroom floor. That was all. Frank would sleep there. Or he would try. For the gloom hung around his soul like an anvil on a chain as his mind wandered backward from regret to regret. The only three offspring of his marriage, now dead, and the new job about which he should have been so enthusiastic. Well, he wished he could back out, but there was no way. His wife was convinced that their son had been taken from them as a kind of divine punishment because of Frank's ambitions, as a sacrifice for all that he hoped to attain. After all had been said and done, Frank kind of believed it himself. It's been said that heavy is the head that wears the crown. Well, certainly it was true for the tormented man you've just met. On what should have been the happiest evening of his life and the occasion of his greatest triumph. For what I've been describing was the night after the inauguration of Franklin Pierce, March 4, 1853, when the new president retired to a vacant house, a vacant White House, and lay alone on a mattress on the floor in the dark, a captive of the stillness and a prisoner of the night. Now you know the rest of the story.